This is the Jayhawker Podcast, presented by the University of Kansas Health System.
Welcome to another edition of the Jayhawker Podcast. I am Greg Gurley, along with Wayne Simeon, brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, Black & Veatch, and Xfinity. A lot going on after the season. We just finished the, just had the national championship games. Obviously, the UConn Huskies go back-to-back for the first time in 15-plus years, as the Florida Gators were the last to do it. Duke before then, and UConn looked pretty dominant. The 12 games in a row in the NCAA tournament, winning by double digits. It's I wouldn't say it's easy, but they've made it look easy. And I know I called you at halftime of the game just to kind of get your take on it. And you want to know Wayne's response as a All-American NBA vet? I wasn't watching it. And I was like, what's wrong with you? Like, I could care less who won, but I'm a basketball guy. And that guy right there, I had to force him.
Seabass.
I had to force him, kind of guilt him into watching the national championship game. Wayne, please explain.
I am going to explain myself. And for the record, after we got off the phone there at halftime, and I like it because it's kind of like a Kornheiser-Wilbon type thing, is even on their show, they talk about they're calling each other during these big moments of athletics all across the country. Even after we got off the phone, I'm sorry, bud, but I did not turn the game on. I went back to binge watching Full Swing on Netflix because it's golf season, it's Masters week. But I do have a cadence and a rhythm to my March Madness viewership. Look, I'll be the first to say, whenever Kansas gets knocked out, both men's and women's, I get a little pouty. I get in my mood, you know, and because you and I eat, live, and breathe it for so much of the season, I need a little bit of a getaway. I need a little bit of a disconnect. So this is what I like to do. Hold on. This is what I like to do. As soon as Kansas is knocked out, usually my attention goes to the last kind of 10 to 12 games of the NBA regular season because there's a lot of jockeying for playoff position. So the basketball gets good there. It's usually the Masters week. Okay, so I'm usually kind of tapped into there. Then I'll finish out the NBA finals. And then when you hit that lull during the summer is when I actually go back and I'll rewatch some of the college basketball games. So there's a couple of, like, I want to see the North Carolina-Alabama game. Of course, I'm going to watch all the Final Four matchups. So I get a little mood, but I eventually circle back to check things out. But with that said, I'll leave you to the commentary for the Final Four and the national championship game because, look, full transparency and unashamedly, unapologetically, I was binge watching Full Swing on Netflix.
Which I will agree with you on that. It's a fantastic show. Fantastic. I'm only three episodes in, but I love the behind the scenes.
I was watching the Ryder Cup. It's a dual series. I was watching the Ryder Cup episodes, and I was locked in. So once you get to that in season two, you're going to be like, oh, I get why Wayne couldn't budge from his TV. You're lucky. You're actually lucky I picked up the phone for you in that. That's how much I think about you, is I was dialed into my favorite series, and I picked up the phone for my good friend Greg at like 9:30 p.m.
Well, so you're what you're saying is something that's recorded and able to stream anytime you want it. You couldn't set aside 3 hours to watch the sport that you played, and then as research for this Jayhawker podcast that we enjoy so much. So I now have to carry the load of talking about the game, and I don't know if anyone's actually very interested. They might be more in your camp because I'm kind of with you. When we lose, I don't watch the screaming and yelling shows on ESPN, the Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharp, or they all seem to just yell at each other about, it seems like all they ever yell about is NFL offseason, even when the Final Four is going on, which is a whole nother issue. Like the day of the national, Monday, I actually turned some of them on, and you know what they were talking about? Salary cap.
Who's going number one quarterback?
Salary cap of the Denver Broncos, or things that have nothing to do with like anything right now in April. And they don't give college basketball the time it deserves. You know, the women's NCAA tournament, and quite frankly, the whole season captivated our country because we had villains, we had great players, we had great teams. The Final Four had a ton of storylines, and everyone watched. Me included. I'm not that I'm not a fan. I just kind of take my time and utilize it as I can with all the things that you and I have to juggle. But I swear I watch more women's basketball this year than I ever have in my life combined. I enjoyed it. It was captivating. It was fun. And at the end of the day, the best team won. You know, South Carolina was the best team. They didn't have the best player or players, but they had the best team. And Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers and Angel Reese will go on to great careers. But South Carolina, that was unfair. It's kind of like UConn. They just out-muscled, out-athleticed. Just they had too much, and the men and the women just could not give them a game, and they ended up winning it going away on both sides. I thought the UConn, when you didn't turn it on, I called you when it was 36-30 at half, and Purdue was hanging with them. They missed some easy ones, but they made some tough ones. They were within six, and then it all turned, and UConn just separated themselves. And the modern era of college basketball is threes versus twos. Zach Edey had a career night, but he doesn't shoot threes. Purdue made one three. UConn didn't make a ton, but they were so much more efficient, so much more just in tune with everyone. They'd penetrate, make the right pass. They'd block the right shot. They'd beat them in transition. They just did everything correct. And that's how you win 12 games in a row by double digits.
So impressive.
Yeah. And back-to-back national titles. You can love or hate Danny Hurley. I don't necessarily like him, but you got to respect him. I mean, he doesn't care what I think. He didn't care what Wayne Simmian thinks. He cares what his bubble thinks. And right now, his bubble is pretty damn strong.
Well, without having watched the game in its entirety, I do have some thoughts about UConn, and much of it is centered with a lot of respect. I mean, a lot of respect. And this is why it applies to a show like this, the Jocker Podcast, because clearly, historically, Kansas has been designated and deemed, rightfully so, a blue blood. And so newer to the conversation within the last 20 years has been UConn. And there was a little bit of not controversy, but there were some pangs that when Coach Hurley had basically said that UConn had been, you know, running college basketball for the last 20 years. I don't know if I can argue that, you know, given, you know, their track record. I mean, you know, three national championships by three different coaches, back to back, you know, jumping other blue bloods. I mean, look, you know, UCLA is no longer in the conversation. You know, Indiana is no longer in the conversation. And, you know, when all this started, UConn wasn't even in the conversation. And now they've jumped and knocked out not only those two, but some could argue that, man, they've jumped Duke, Kansas, Kentucky in terms of the run that the span that they've had the last 20 years. And like, look, I'll tip my hat to that. And as much as I want to be a homer, and as much as I want to argue against that, I don't know if I can. And, you know, a couple things about UConn that I think has really accelerated them. Number one is elite coaching hires, you know, Calhoun, Hurley, and then, gosh, what's the former player?
Kevin Ollie.
Yeah, Kevin Ollie, great guy, a friend in the league. Like, he was an awesome dude. They probably did him a little bit wrong. We'll let their podcast delve all that out. But three national championships, three different coaches, You know, Hurley goes back to back. Look, solid recruiting base in the East Coast. And then, of course, they're learning, like many others, how to navigate the transfer portal. Hey, and I think this place, no football, right? No football. So what does that mean when I say no football? Like, hey, you know, they're not having to split resources and attention and, you know, a lot of those type of things. No, well, real football. They have a football program, but not real football, you know, Power Five, you know, that. Right. And then also something that goes unsaid, look, they're a Nike school. And look, I appreciate Adidas, three-stripe life here on this side, 196 million reasons, you know, to be excited about them from a Kansas standpoint. But when you look at the last 20 years of national champions on both the men's basketball side and the college football side, there's only been three non-Nike schools to be able to do that. So, like, look, whether we like or not, like, kids like Nike, the brand is a championship and very reputable, and maybe it serves them well. And those three being Kansas, Louisville, and Auburn, who's, you know, Louisville with an asterisk, you know, obviously with what happened with the basketball, that I didn't put the asterisk there. It's there legitimately. And then Auburn, you know, being an Under Armour school. So, look, they've got some nice ingredients over there, and it doesn't feel like they're going away anytime soon. It doesn't feel like this is a flash in the pan or something that's going to, you know, fade away. Maybe like we've seen, you know, another nice, you know, championship run or Final Four run by a team that sneaks in there, maybe like a Baylor and the like.
Well, you know, we don't want to harp on the game too much. I think this episode we wanted to talk more transfer portal, coaching carousel, NIL, how it all weaves together. And that's what we're in right now. So if we go to the national champion, UConn Huskies, they lost a lot from last year. Alabama lost a lot from the year before. But with the transfer portal and the resources that they have, they're able to get guys there. You know, we've been living, eating, and breathing this in our own way as you and I go upstairs and go into the basketball offices. You talk about living, eating, and breathing it. They're doing that every day. And so much has changed. 5 years ago, what would happen? We would lose in the NCAA tournament. And then that night or the next day, Curtis, Norm, Dooley, everybody was on the road finding that next guy. It's changed so much since the pandemic and since the transfer portal, because now they all huddle up. They look at the portal. They get on Zoom calls. They figure out if they like Wayne Simeon in Leavenworth, Kansas, figure out if they're going to go see him, get him to come to campus. And they got to do that 30 times over and to find three guys or whatever. So we can't talk about guys that we've already kind of centered in on, zeroed in on, because a lot of paperwork has to happen and all that. We're on it. I mean, it's going to be just, hey, Kansas fans, get used to it. This is going to be the way it's going to be moving forward.
You scroll, tap, swipe, text, call, and do a lot more on your phone. None of us can fathom life without all the world's knowledge in our pocket. We use phones for just about everything. But when it comes to doing the bigger things, like streaming, gaming, and working, you shouldn't be limited to just your phone screen or mobile plan. You see, millions of Americans don't have home internet. They're forced to do everything on their phone or through their mobile service via a hotspot. Or they go to public spaces and use unsecure Wi-Fi, which can be problematic when dealing with personal or sensitive information. You deserve reliable home internet that fits your life and your budget. And right now, Internet Essentials Plus from Xfinity is free through the Affordable Connectivity Program. Get unlimited data and equipment included with no annual contract. Go to Xfinity.com/free to see if you qualify. Restrictions apply. After program participation ends, Comcast standard charges, taxes, and fees apply. May not be combined with other offers.
I had this patient. His cancer treatment had him in the hospital for a while. One day, he was telling me about his grandson and how a big night was coming up for him. So we arranged to make it a big night for my patient too. I sometimes wonder if I'm doing all I can. Then I help make a moment like this possible, and I know I am.
It's going to be hard to find the KJ Adams and the DeJuan Harrises that are here for 4, 5, and in DeJuan's case, 6 years. That's not reality. We're fortunate. People love it here. DeJuan and KJ aren't going anywhere, but they're going to have new teammates every year. The coaching carousel is a whole nother thing. Well, before I get to that, let's talk about the portal. Let's talk about our needs. Let's talk about what we know. So what we know right now is essentially DeJuan and KJ are coming back. We haven't heard anything yet on Jamari, El Marco, and Hunter, or really Johnny Furphy. Johnny Furphy's got a lot of decisions to make. They all got a lot of decisions to make. So as we deconstruct and then construct our roster, I think we all know what we think we need, but it doesn't matter what we think. It matters what Bill thinks. I will say this. We aren't going to go into next season not having guys that can score off the bounce, guys that can create, guys that can shoot. And this is not an indictment on last year's team, but we see what the three ball does. And we saw it all year. In games we lost, we get outscored by 21 points from a three-point line. That math doesn't work. I looked at the box score. I was a little bit off on the three-point line for the national championship game. 1 3-pointer for Purdue, 6 for UConn. 6 of 22, not a great line. But you still got to be able to make threes. Threes versus two, the math don't work. So what as you deconstruct and construct our team for next year, tell me your thoughts.
Man, great question. Great insight there. Before I get to the deconstruct and construction, I want to take some time and offer a little bit or a lot of appreciation for two players that you just mentioned, because we may not ever see players like them again. And that's DeJuan Harris and KJ Adams. You know, whether right, wrong, or different, whether we like it or whether we don't like it, I think you are right. The times of being able to have a kid come in as a freshman, to see them grow, mature, have a breakout game, have the highs and lows, work through it, come off the bench, work their way into a starter, all the things that kind of endeared us to certain players historically over Kansas, particularly that DeJuan and KJ have done. We might not see that again. So with that said, I'm going to appreciate them and their story and their stick-to-itiveness as much as I ever have before, because there's no guarantee we'll ever see players like them again. And I would invite the Jayhawk Nation to be able to do the same. You know, look, personnel-wise, we know we need shooters, scorers, length, athleticism. But it also is important to note that just because we find a guy in the portal that might seemingly fit that criteria doesn't mean they'll always fit. You know, I mean, fit is as big of as in, oh, I can't quite see that. What we got here? What's that note say? Stick-to-itiveness.
Okay. Is that spelled correctly?
No, I put it in my cell phone to see if spell check comes up right there. So, but we'll go ahead and give you the benefit of the doubt right there, since you have.
Sorry to interrupt. I was just trying to write that down because I've used that word before, and I want to know how to.
Spell it. Nice. Yeah, and it's a real word, by the way. It's not something that we've made up. It's actually a real word, and a real characteristic that those guys have shown. But yeah,
I love that you concentrated on those two guys, because what they've given us, and you know, it's easy nowadays to just say, yeah, guy, you know, the season didn't go right. I just want a fresh start. And I'll harken back to 2 years ago, we won the national title. Been easy for Jalen Wilson to leave. It would have been easy for a lot of those guys to leave.
Yeah.
Especially after the ass whooping we took against USC. That wasn't fun. And I've said it many, many times about Bill's press conference after that game. And it was similar to after we lost to Gonzaga a few weeks ago. hey, we got to get tougher, stronger, bigger, hey, you know what? More athletic.
Even to that, look, I'll tip my hat to El Marco. Like, again, nothing definitive has been made of his situation, but something that we can recognize, he's not in the portal right now. Right. And so by not being in the portal indicates, you know, to some degree that he wants to be here. And despite the things that he had to work through his freshman year, actually has, you know, a determination that says, hey, before I just, you know, day one game's over with my name's in the next day, like, hey, no, I want to wrestle with this decision. I want to wrestle with, you know, the things that I need to work on. I want to wrestle with the realities of my freshman year. And maybe Kansas is still potentially the place for me. And I'm going to get to work this summer and make sure that I live up to the expectations that I came in here with. So I want to appreciate a guy like that as well, because at least until this point, as we're recording this, his name isn't in the portal. And we can recognize that.
It's impossible to do it, but can you imagine some of the guys that ended up playing 4 years at Kansas that were disgruntled their freshman year? I mean, we hear stories about it all the time, whether it was Sharon Collins, Russell Robinson, the Morris twins. They weren't great as freshmen, but you talk about their monumental leap in their skill set, their attitude, everything from freshman year to sophomore year.
Because then you even mentioned some of those guys. You can probably say that for almost every guy whose name's hanging up on the south side of the rafters. I know that was certainly the case for Cole Aldrich. I know that was the case for Ochai, who's going to be going up there. I know that was the case for Frank, who's going to be going up there. I mean, you know,
Devontae.
Kurt Heinrich, Devontae, like, man, everyone has to wrestle, you know, with that, at least every real player that's come through there. But with that said, like, the one thing that I hate about the portal, at least as it stands right now, is that kids are being villainized as noncommittal, as soft, as always wanting to go find greener pastures. Listen, coaching staffs use the portal with just as much strategy as kids use the portal to look for better opportunity. Okay, so let's just be clear about that across the country. Okay, across the country. And listen, you also can't forget about the feel-good stories behind that. You mentioned it earlier, man, a guy like kid like Dalt Connect, you know, kid like Zeke Mayo, you know, that maybe they were late bloomers. Maybe they started out at a school or a level where that wasn't their highest aspiration. They took care of business in the classroom. They took care of business on the court. They continued to work. And guess what? They created more value and opportunity for themselves. Now they get an opportunity to play at the highest level. It's like that actually works and plays out in every other, you know, kind of profession out there. You know, say, hey, you start out as a bank teller, but you have a dream to be able to work in finance at the highest level, right? Hey, you put your work in as a bank teller, whatever, counting money, cashing checks, whatever, going to school, building a craft, getting some experience. And guess what? If somewhere along the line, Goldman Sachs or Morgan Stanley or some, you know, major financial institution calls you out of a sudden and says, hey, we want you to be a part of our team, most folks are going to take that opportunity and no one's getting criticized over it. Hey, come play at the highest level. Your work and your commitment in the classroom and on the court has been noted. It's been seen. Hey, come play at the highest level. No one's getting criticized over that. But yet, I think we were really a little too quick to villainize kids when they utilize the portal. Well,
it's also easier than ever to get your opinion out to the masses. And the people that are giving their opinion about whether somebody leaves or not are a fan base that benefits from them staying or going. So it's way more exaggerated, because when you and I were coming up, there wasn't an internet. You can be a faceless, nameless 14-year-old in your mom's basement and say your name's whatever and say whatever you want to say. And people look at it like it's the gospel. And so I think now more than ever, we have to utilize some discretion on what we really look at and consider the sources. It's hard. People are going to get on this podcast and comment, Wayne and Greg suck. They're, you know, that might just be a guy that just doesn't like us. We beat him on the golf course or whatever
Wayne,
we did.
Wayne and Greg are the best podcasters there. Hey, thanks, Mom. Appreciate that.
Carol Gurley. Yes, exactly. So, but we get into this, and again, the the minority is always the loudest. It's going to be 100 guys that don't just like, I mean, I got people right now that are belly aching about Hunter Dickinson. And I always say, hey, dude, averaged 18 and 11, had one of the best years that you could possibly have. Could he have averaged 25 and 15? Sure. But Hunter and DeJuan and KJ, just like anybody, benefit from having good guys around them that can do some dynamic things. We just didn't have that last year, and we had some injuries. You put guys around them that are dead-eye corner shooters. You put guys around them that can create lanes to the basket off the bounce. That makes Hunter that much more dangerous. Then you can't double, because when he's a great passer, he throws it out, you kill him. You got to single team him. Everyone's going to be more efficient with more, with more weapons on the floor. I choked myself up.
Yeah, it's true. And to the point that you made with Hunter, he might be the least celebrated second team All-American that we've ever had, maybe of all time. I know there's plenty of teams all across the country that are, you know, contenders that would love to have a 7'2", 17 second team All-American, especially one that could potentially return in the Kansas uniform.
So how about this coaching carousel? I did not see.
I love the drama when it ain't us, so I love it.
I did not see the Calipari to Arkansas thing coming. So if you're Kentucky, you got to be ecstatic. I mean, he was about to lose his job, and don't go crying elephant tears for him, because losing his job meant he would have got a $32 million check and then been able to go to Arkansas. So the happiest people in the world right now is the Kentucky boosters. Like, all right, we just saved $32 million. We can go out and get who we want. But to your point earlier, you made a statement, the grass isn't always greener. And they've now got to make the right hire that can handle a Kentucky. Like, it's the Kansas job, the Duke job, the North Carolina job. A lot of these jobs aren't just for anybody. You can't just come into Kansas and plug and play. You got to be able, I mean, Bill Self's the smoothest cat around. He handles it flawlessly. The next guy may not. It's difficult. You and I see it every day. There is so many things going on when you run a program like this, and the expectations are so massive that he handles it the best I've ever seen. That being said, same deal at Kentucky. You can't just go get a guy that you think's a good X's and O's and a good recruiter. He's got to be able to handle all the idiots that are going to be coming at him, deflect, you know, build promise, build excitement. Like, you can't just be a cheerleader and run and go jump in the stands at Kentucky. They don't care about that. They might care about it at some places, but that ain't doing it at a blue blood old school place. You got to be the right guy. And so careful what you wish for, because now you got to make the hire. Now, granted, you save $32 million or whatever, you got to make the right hire now.
Yeah, it's been as entertaining of a coaching carousel across the board, not just the latest one that you mentioned in terms of Cal to Arkansas, but across the board from start to finish, with some incredible jobs being opened up, you know, all across basketball. And that's one of the unique things that I enjoy kind of following and tracking, again, with the caveat when it ain't us. But one thing that I draw back in terms of our context and thinking about Cal's ability and, you know, how efficient he's been, at least historically, not as of late, at Kentucky, is like, look, no program is exempt. Right. No program is exempt from a couple bad years. No program is exempt from a couple early round exits. No program is exempt, blue bloods included, from a once national championship type coach, you know, not getting the job done or not meeting expectations and him getting shown the door. And so, again, as I talked about DeJuan and KJ with appreciation, man, it makes me tip my hat and appreciate even more the job that Coach Self's done over his 21 years here and two national championships and so on and so forth. not feeling sorry for Kentucky, but I think that as we talked about the portal and the coaching carousel, I think these two things are kind of blended together. Because one of the things that probably appealed to Kyle about being able to get out is that now in the portal and the NIL era, he can go and contend for a national championship immediately at a school like Arkansas. You don't have to be at a Duke or a Kansas or a Kentucky to be in the hunt for a national championship right away. Because guess what? Arkansas is in a power conference and they have resources. All right. They've already proven themselves to be national champions, as we saw back in the early 90s under Nolan Richardson. I grew up watching that awesome era and version of type of basketball to watch. But I would consider Arkansas to be in the hunt immediately with the addition of a guy like Coach Kyle, and then also with the resources particularly directed to NIL that they have down there with the corporations they have connected to that program. And so that'll be interesting, but also the domino effect in terms of how that affects who's going to fill that Kentucky vacancy. Could it be Scott Drew? Could it be Nate Oates? I'm very, very impressed with Nate Oates all the way back to his time at Buffalo. I think he's done more with less. If I were Kentucky, I'd throw the bag at him to try to peel him there. Again, could it be Scott Drew? Could there be a new vacancy in the Big 12? Does that then cause Jerome Tang to consider movement? Like, hey, it's got kind of implications within Big 12 country, and I'm here for it. I want to be front row with a bowl of popcorn, figuratively, watching how this thing plays out.
Arkansas, do you know how many players they have right now when John Calipari took the job?
Which actually is to his advantage.
100%. And he's
100% to his advantage, because you don't have to get the wrong guys off the bus. Clean slate. I get to get my guys in year one. Are you kidding me? That's how teams flip real fast, man. I'm telling you.
And in the business of college basketball and college sports right now, you mentioned it. He's got the resources now. Not that he didn't have them at Kentucky, because he did. But now, if you believe what you read, which in this instance, because of what you said, businesses in Arkansas, Walmart, Tyson Chicken, the Hunt family, Jerry Jones, those are some fat cats right there that can throw together, let's call
bees. They got bees, billions.
And for them, for the four of them to throw $5 to $8 million at it is, you know, it's a nice dinner somewhere for them. For that, like me and you guys, like us fundraisers, we low hanging fruit. Like, okay. So my point being, he can basically be RC Buford and build a team as a general manager. And there's guys that still haven't hit the portal that are thinking about it.
Hey, well, that's another thing. It's very, very important to talk about and understand, is that moves like this late in the portal season cause the whole portal to reshuffle, right? So remember, we were still playing in the first week of the tournament, and I think maybe Iowa State had gotten someone from the portal, Gonzaga had gotten someone for the portal, and folks around here were kind of like, man, like, we're still playing. When are we going to get involved in that? Well, it's a long, drawn-out process, but guess what? Sometimes it's almost beneficial not to be in it too early or too late. Like, the timing is so, so unique, because now a move like that reshuffles everything. Now, hey, do those guys from Kentucky, do they enter the portal? Who's going to get the Kentucky job? Now, do those guys from that coaching position change? Do they now go into the portal? Now, do we have more offerings and options for players that we can add to our roster? So it's really, really unique as you think about these instances that are happening that are seemingly far away in other conferences. They have direct implications for Kansas basketball.
I mean, I saw Mark Mitchell at Duke, Kansas City guy, McDonald's All-American, had a really good 2 years at Duke. He's in the portal. And there's going to be more like him. And John Calipari and the staff that he's going to put together, obviously it's the Jayhawker podcast. We don't want to talk so much about Arkansas, but it is the news of the week, even after the national title. But the coaching, you know, you look at Michigan and you look at all these other jobs that became open and were filled by kind of young up and comers. You know, Dusty May is at Michigan. And then that led to, I mean, you look at I keep going back to Arkansas, where supposedly Chris Beard and Jerome Tang turned him down. I doubt they turned down the $13 million that John Calipari is going to get over the course of the next 5 years. I bet you they turned down a lot less. And then all those guys got together and said, all right, let's make a splash. You guys ready to kind of put your money where your mouth is? And they did. And Calipari couldn't turn it down. So we think we're invincible. You never know. This day and age, the money, I mean, John Calipari was going to make more money than Nick Saban or Kirby Smart. And the math was never like that before. It was always college football was here and basketball, still a ton of money, making $8 million a year at Kentucky. But it's like, that's life-changing money. This is even more life-changing money. What are some other spring showcase Friday night?
Come on now, spring showcase. Kansas football keeping the momentum going. Rock Chalk Park.
Rock Chalk Park starts at 6:30. It'll be broadcast live on 810 WHB. So check out that broadcast. Obviously, we're moving it to Rock Chalk Park because the construction of David Booth Memorial Stadium is ongoing. It is. You and I drive by it every day. We talk about it every week on this podcast. There seems like 200 workers at once over there in a pretty confined space, laying concrete and just getting after it. And it's an aggressive timeline. So there's a lot of folks over there. So the spring showcase will be out at Rock Chalk Park. You and I will be there. Will be a lot of fun as you try, as you follow social media. Everyone wants a glimpse of Jalen Daniels throwing passes, and just yesterday or the day before, you could see that. And so it's real. And it's sneaking up on us. And football tickets are on sale. Sporting Park for a couple games. Arrowhead for four. I keep saying it's kind of like having six bowl games. You know, you just go to two really, really cool stadiums to play six games in. And we've really made the best of a messy situation simply because it's going to get messy before it gets better. And that's what we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, how fitting is it that the football team is going to have the spring showcase at Rock Chalk Park in our soccer stadium, getting ready and preparing to have regular season games right down the road at Children's Mercy Park, which will be really cool. Intimate environment, obviously. The capacity is going to be pretty intimate at both those locations. But look, the work and the progress, very much like we see taking place at the stadium, is happening with Lance Leipold and that football team. And look, a lot of incredible spring things happening competition-wise. Dan Fitzgerald, Kansas baseball with a big upset over top 20 Nebraska last night.
Did you see the final play?
I did not see the final play. I saw the final score.
KU had a three-run lead going into the ninth, and he walked a couple guys and they loaded the bases, scored a run. So we had a two-run lead. And then the second baseman, I can't remember his name, but made an incredible stab and turned two. The game's over. It was one of the best walk-off plays you've ever seen. And I had watched the last couple innings on ESPN Plus, and it was such a cool moment because Nebraska, top 25 team, and Kansas baseball struggled a little bit lately, so that was a big win to continue to bolster their hopes for postseason. So,
yeah, that's Coach, right. Kansas softball rolling. They're going to be playing the same time as the spring showcase is taking place, and got the Kansas relays coming up 1 week away. We'll get a chance to highlight that on our next episode. And then, of course, like we said, look, it's Masters week. And we got a Jayhawk playing the Masters. Come on, man. Let's not overlook that. Let's not get satisfied and comfortable with that. Like, come on. We got a Jayhawk.
Check out all, you know, social media, Sports Center, whatever. Our boy Gary Woodland had a hole-in-one today in the par three competition. And Gabby was there with their three kids all in their caddy outfits. And
great comeback story. Could be one of the greatest comeback stories in 2023-24.
And you and I, we're going to have G-Dub on here at some point to let him tell his story, because ESPN just did a fantastic feature on him. And Gary talked about everything that he's been dealing with over the last 12 to 18 months and just mentally and physically what he went through to be back at the Masters. It is such an unbelievable mental and physical feat for him to accomplish. And it was so cool to see him with that hole in one today. We learned a new word today, stick-to-itiveness, which I spelled out. I'm going to look it up in Webster's. I want to wish my little baby Jane Gurley's turns 21 today. So I've got a 21-year-old and a 24-year-old. We're going to have a great night dining in our favorite places, downtown Lawrence on Mass Street, and then out for some adult beverages afterwards legally. So please, Lawrence Police Department, we'll be out there and living it up on a weeknight in Lawrence, Kansas, celebrating Jane Gurley.
Yeah, so, love you, man. Enjoy.
That'll do it. Another edition of the Jay Harker Podcast in the books, brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, Xfinity, and Black and Veatch. Got a lot to, as we move on, you mentioned Kansas Relays. We'll recap the spring showcase. Transfer portal will be an ongoing weekly, daily, hourly discussion, men's and women's, well, all sports. It's just, there's supposedly the NCAA is going to have a new rule change to the transfer portal, which will make it even easier to transfer. Now they put a few little guardrails in there, but supposedly here in the next few days, that's going to be announced. So a lot to talk about always on the Jay Harker Podcast. Big Dub, always fun. Catch you next time. Rock chalk.
Rock chalk.